Stand, if you're able, for the reading this morning. It will be from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Amen.
As we continue our sermon series called Because He Lives, we come to a Sunday in the church year known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Once a year when you come to church, you'll probably hear a sermon about a sheep, and this is your day. I wanted to start off by talking a little bit about fears and anxieties. It won't surprise you to know, if you know me at all, I have a tendency toward anxiety by nature. I've always had a vivid imagination. So my childhood was full of things that I was scared of. I was afraid of the dark, which a lot of people are. I was also very afraid of the witch in the original Snow White movie. That was one scary witch, I'll just tell you. I was also deathly afraid of Morgan Freeman in one of his early roles, Count Dracula on The Electric Company. He's a gifted actor. He's always been a gifted actor. I felt like he really brought a lot to the role. It was very realistic to me. I had more serious fears, too. I was really afraid of being lost. And I hear that this is a common childhood fear, but I thought I was the only kid with this problem. I was afraid of being off somewhere and getting separated, particularly from my mother, and not knowing where I am or where she might be. And so when I confessed this to my mother, that I had this fear, she said, "Manda," which is what she does when she's exasperated with me. And she said, "Don't you know anything? If you are lost, I will not let you be lost for long. You may rest assured I am looking for you. You may rest assured I will find you. You can just sit right down where you are, and I will find you no matter how long it takes." And I was like, "Mother, here I am being vulnerable with you, and you have to use that tone, but okay." There's many kinds of being lost. There's the kind of being lost that your GPS has miraculously fixed. I don't know what we did before that thing. I couldn't read a map today if my life depended on it. And then they had this Waze app that came out a few years ago, and everybody was like, "Oh, Mandy, you got to use the Waze app. Don't be using the Google Maps. Use the Waze app." So I tried it, and it's not for the faint of heart, the Waze app. Because if you use your Waze app without using your brain, it gets really Lara Croft Tomb Raider really fast. Like, I've been on roads that say, like, "This is not a road." And Waze is like, "Go on, go on." So we have the geographic lostness that's often fixed with our GPS. But there's another kind of lost that I think is more subtle. That feeling of loss of purpose, loss of identity, loss of meaning. That feeling when the wave hits you and you think, I don't know. I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. That feeling of, is this all there is? When we get that feeling of lost, it means that we have forgotten that we have a good shepherd, that we have a God who will not let us little sheep be left to wander about to our own devices. We are not called to be a bunch of little lost lambs glued to our Waze apps. You know, right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn. We are sheep of the Good Shepherd, and he calls to us. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." When I first read that, I took that as a sort of criticism of me, because sometimes it's a little hard to hear Jesus' voice at times. It's sort of like when he says at the end of a parable, "Let those with ears to hear, hear." I'm always like, well, I didn't really understand that, so is it not for me? You know, it's not super helpful. But when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," he knows a little something about sheep that maybe you and I don't know. Did you know that sheep do know the voice of the one that keeps them and loves them and provides for them? Sheep farmers will tell you, sheep recognize that person's voice, and they do more than hear it. They will actually follow that person around. Jesus' questioners are not of Jesus' flock because they do not really hear what he's saying to them. And they certainly don't like what they hear. What kind of shepherd king changes water into wine? What kind of shepherd king says, "I will lay down my life for the sheep"? His questioners only hear, but they're not really listening. They don't believe. They don't follow. They don't want to follow. They don't want to be a sheep of his flock. They want to regulate the flock and weigh it and count it and keep an eye on it and sort it into groups so they can fight with each other and maybe keep it small and well behaved. They don't want to be a sheep. They want to control the sheep, even exploit them. And sheep are in need of some protection and some guidance. I did the research like you always hope I will, and it turns out that sheep, particularly in the wild, are skittish, and they scatter easily at the hint of a threat. When we read in the 23rd Psalm that the Lord is our shepherd who leads us by still waters and into green pastures, turns out you need someone to lead sheep into a green pasture, because if you just let a bunch of sheep out into a pristine pasture, they'll eat till they'll collapse. I've always been a sheep. Real sheep are a little on the dumb side, as it turns out. I was reading an article where a farmer was quoted who has both sheep and goats. And he said, goats are the smart ones, hands down. Sheep, not so much. We can take a baby goat and put that baby goat in a simple maze, and very quickly the goat will find his way out. If we leave a little lamb in a maze, we could go have lunch, go play a round of golf, come back in a couple hours, clueless. Sheep are vulnerable. Who would want to be a sheep, right? Still, in our heart of hearts, we know that real life out here in the human flock isn't all about Easter lilies and pastel eggs either. Sometimes we little sheep feel like we're being besieged by predators on every side. It looks placid enough on the sunny spring days of life, but when the sun goes down and the wind kicks up, we little sheep might realize there are wolves and then there are hills. There are thieves and strangers and bandits, and we try to protect ourselves, right? So we might try to protect ourselves by saying, well, if I can just earn enough money, then my little sheep self will be protected. If I can just eat a lot of cookies, which is the strategy I use, somehow I'll just be protected. If I can just surround myself with possessions, then I'll be protected. But in our heart of hearts, we know, we little sheep, we know that we need a shepherd. That is the thing that we need. And not just any shepherd, but a shepherd that is powerful enough to lay down his life and to take it up again. So it's been a little bit since Easter. Have we heard our shepherd's voice lately? One of the reasons that we're sending out daily devotions to you through the Pastor's Ponderings email list is to create a space in a season of stewardship that we can begin to listen for the voice of our risen Savior, the voice of our shepherd. It can be hard to hear the sound of my own voice over the din of my life, much less the voice of my shepherd. There are things that ding and hum and ping. I was sitting on the couch early one morning, and I was entering into prayer, and I heard a mechanical tone playing for Elise. And I thought, that's it. I've gone round the bend. It turns out our prior homeowners, who are good people, who plan, put in like these water sensors on the floor of our laundry room. And our water heater had begun leaking. And it plays for Elise when your water heater leaks. But it is a miracle from God that I was in a time of silent prayer to hear for Elise. It can be hard to hear your shepherd's voice and harder still to follow him. But I'm here to tell you that no matter who you are or where you're from or what faith tradition you grew up in or you did not grow up in, you are showing signs of being sheep of the good shepherd's flock. How do you know, Pastor? I mean, I'm not too sure about the Trinity, that virgin birth. I'm a little iffy. How do you know? Well, number one, you are here. What got you out of bed this morning on Mother's Day to come here? Maybe it was the voice of your mother. But behind the voice of your mother, there was the voice of your shepherd. I think it was the voice of your shepherd that called you together in the flock. Maybe that voice called you here to make sure that your Easter is not some kind of sugar high that's over as soon as the candy runs out. Maybe that voice says to you, he lives and it makes all the difference in the world. Our lives and our world are different now. Maybe that voice sings to your heart, not some Easter like, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. But maybe that voice sings to your heart, Christ the Lord is risen today. Church, what if we're dealing with a risen, powerful Shepherd Savior? What if we're not dealing with a paper cutout shepherd and bargain bin Easter sheep, but a real shepherd that knows we need a Savior and says to every human heart, fear not, little flock, you are mine. How would that change how we live, how we spend our time, talents, and treasures? You may know this because you're probably sheep scholars, but shepherds in Jesus' day would protect their flocks by gathering them into the sheepfold at night, and they would lay themselves down across the door to the sheepfold so that anything that wanted to get to those sheep, fox, wolf, bandit, thief, would literally have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. So when Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep, this is what he means. I am the good shepherd. This is what he means. He protects his sheep by laying his body on a cross and by having God roll the stone away. Jesus says in a regular flock of sheep, anything, a fox, a wolf, a thief, a bandit, can snatch a sheep away under cover of darkness. But he says no one can snatch the sheep out of his hand. And that's what Easter is all about. That's what it means to live as Easter people every day. It's not about a new dress and some nice music. It's about what happens when darkness falls and the wind kicks up and real life in the flock, where wolves of illness, oppression, hunger, poverty, violence, sin, and death lurk about for their nightly prey. we have ourselves a powerful good shepherd who is loving enough to lay down his life and powerful enough to take it up again. So, sheep of God's pasture, I don't know how it is in your section of the flock, but most sheep know what it is to feel the threat of something. I don't know the name of the particular predator that torments you, the wolf at your door, but I know the name of your shepherd. I know that whatever it is that you're so afraid of, it cannot snatch you out of this shepherd's hand. Even the biggest, scariest wolf we know of can't have you for long, because this shepherd ended the power even of death on Easter. It's as if Jesus says to us, if you are lost, I won't let you be lost for long. You may rest assured I am looking for you and I will find you. You can just sit down right there where you are in those green chairs and I will find you, no matter how long it takes. Now, that's our shepherd. Because he lives, we are not just a bunch of lost sheep. Because he lives and he's loose in the world, he leads us. We listen for his voice. He leads us and we follow. Sheep who follow their shepherd, they make some crazy decisions. Sheep of Jesus' flock that are following Jesus, they do some crazy things. They take their kids to our Sunday school. They put them in our youth group. And the result are dozens of very well-dressed, handsome, and beautiful graduating sheep. They do things like come to worship on Mother's Day, not because we exalt human fertility, but because we have felt the love of God. And the love of God is reflected in the love of humanity when the love of humanity works out right. Today we celebrate moms, dads. You're also agents of God's purpose and channels of his love. You just have a different day. Sheep who follow the good shepherd come to worship when they don't feel like it, and they find that they're fed and watered and held by their shepherd. They engage in Bible study. They get into small groups. They serve in the neighborhood and the world through mission projects. They even play golf to benefit grassroots, which I think of as a very specialized green pasture. Did you know that we have raised over $200,000 in 8 years for grassroots through our little golf tournament? Did you know that a night in a shelter costs $71 a day? I can't hope to do the math, but there are people in the room who can, and that's a lot of shelter nights brought about by some sheep who know who their shepherd is. They honor their shepherd and their giving too, because they're being led and they're being faithful, and they know what it is to be lost and scared, and they know what it is to be found. So it's appropriate that Good Shepherd Sunday coincides with Graduate Sunday and Mother's Day, because life in the flock is full of seasons where we feel lost and we remember that we're being found and we remember that we're being led, and then we feel lost again and then we remember who we are. We're led by the shepherd's rod and staff, who loves us before we can love him back. Like a shepherd who loves a little lamb. If the shepherd waited for the lamb to love him back, he'd be waiting a while. The love of the shepherd is so often like a mother's love. He gathers the sheep in his arms and gently leads those that are with young. We grow a little bit and we might become parents. And looking into the faces of those little ones that are placed in our charge, we might question God's judgment. I mean, I know I did. But we may feel all of a sudden lost again, right? That's how it is. We feel lost. We remember who we are. We're found. And then, I'm lost again. When our first child was born, he was not a good sleeper. And it was one of the early nights of his life, and I can remember rocking him, and he was crying, and I was crying. And I'm a sheep of God's fold, but I was feeling a little lost. And I can remember thinking, if the sun will just come up, we're both going to live. If I can just make it to sunrise, somehow this motherhood thing is going to work out. And I can remember praying, you know, to my good shepherd and saying, like, if this is all up to me, we're doomed. You've got to help me with this. And God provided. Then you live some more and you feel some more joy and some more terror. Our graduates, they're very excited and they're a little reluctant too. And it doesn't stop at graduation. So often when we go on to new things, there's a season where we feel again that we're lost. Uh-oh, I'm a lost little, let me get out my Waze app. But then we remember, no, we're not lost. We have a good shepherd, we're being led. And we hear God whisper to all his flock, you are mine, hear my voice, follow me. Now the last thing I want to tell you today is that the flock that the shepherd has in mind is not small. It's not just us. It's not any one little group. The flock that the shepherd has in mind is the whole wide world. Later in John, we hear Jesus say, he has sheep that are not of this fold, and he's going to gather them in too, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. And that is why everyone is welcome here, because the flock of Christ encompasses all the sheep of every color and size, of every description. That's why we are one in Christ, because Christ and the Father are one. No matter what kind of sheep we are, the Master wants us in his flock. The writer of Revelation had a vision of just what our good shepherd's flock looks like. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, with a capital L, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Because he lives, we're not lost. We're being led. Amen.